I just want to share quickly the last part of 2 Peter, the first chapter. We were talking, just to rehash a little bit, the beginning of the chapter. I gave it a title of called Escaping the Downward Spiral, because in 2 Peter 1 through 4, he talks about the corruption of this world. And that's how the world is. But he mentions about that we have two things, precious faith and precious promises, that can keep us. And we can have the nature of Christ so we don't have to get caught in that downward spiral. What mercy and grace that is. And then the next one was one step up and two steps back. And sometimes on the narrow way, it's that way. And Peter gives the advice in verses 5 through 11, to add to your faith. Be diligent about that. We should be adding to our faith every day. And there's so many different ways of doing that, isn't there, right? Here at camp, we have devotions in the morning if you're on staff, and we have worship morning and night. But when you get home, you still need to be adding to your faith in the Word of God, in the body of Christ. And then thirdly, we have don't forget to remember, because we sometimes are poor rememberers. That's quite the word. But God likes to give us reminders. And it's good to think about, what could I do to remind myself, to remember? We have busy lives. And if you don't, you will. It gets busy. And God can give us reminders. But the last one today, I've given it the name, it's 16 through 21. I saw it, I heard it, I believe it. Why don't you say that with me? I saw it, I heard it, I believe it. Because that's what Peter tells us in this section. Let me read it to us. 2 Peter 1, 16 through 21. And Peter begins by saying, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. I want to pause there. Each one of us need to have this experience. That Peter says, this is what should happen. Let me read it again. And we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. You need that to happen. There has to come a time when you meet the Master face to face. When you know that Christ is in you, like our dear sister said, that he's alive, that he's real. You need that experience. Peter's telling them that. 20 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but only men of God spoke. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So Peter was saying, I saw Christ, I heard the Father, and I believe it. And we all need that. So I'll just quickly bring some things to us. You have to have that testimony. That testimony should be, I have found the Savior. I have read the Word of God. I know it's the living Word of God. And my faith now is in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all wonderful. But now I have come into a relationship with Him. a reality, a walk with the Lord. It's not, it's thank God for church, thank God for devotions, thank God for Bible reading. Now I have a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And His Word feeds me like my daily food feeds us every day. And so, interesting thing about testifying, isn't it? You testify. And I don't mean just about testifying in meetings. I've heard some really wonderful, outstanding testimonies in my life here at Pilgrim Camp. And I've had quite a life of coming to Pilgrim Camp. Some of them have been so glorious, and all of them are glorious. Got to be careful. All of them are glorious. But some of them have lifted me as a young, pimpled-faced kid sitting over here, stuck next to Brother Gardner, waiting for my next meal and the next, how many, wondering how many pots is the cook gonna use? And your dad was the worst. I'm telling you right now. Can't you just reuse a pot for crying out loud? I would say to him, come on. But you know, there were some testimonies that are very memorable because they lifted me. But then there was, I got to tell you one, and I don't have time for any funny stories today, but I got to tell you one because I'm just me. There was a brother that I came to know by the name of Tim Gerwin. Tim Gerwin was a mountain of a man, a mountain of a young man, big guy, big in every which way. And, I'll give you the background. He got marvelously saved. He was a PCP addict, and he was stoned most of the time. He broke into a supermarket, got into the frozen food section, cut himself up breaking in. They found him. The police arrested him sitting on the floor of the supermarket eating raw sausage. Because this is where he was at. He went to jail for that. Do you know, he said to me, I did the exact same thing when I got out because of the drugs. One day, this so far out, so bound, so possessed man is walking down the street and there's a young girl with a guitar on her stoop singing about Jesus. You don't think there's any power sometimes in what you do. You don't think there's any power in what you're doing. Like, she didn't give him, you know, the ABCs of being saved. Or, you know, she was just singing about Jesus, and he stopped. He heard, and he got marvelously saved. He was still strange. He was still odd. He was still weird, but he was saved. Well, anyway, he gets up one day here, and he's wants to give God the glory. And he had a peculiar way of speaking. He said, I went for a canoe ride with the Word of God. And this is what he did. I'm not making it up. And, you know, as a young staff person in my late teens, we're like, this is going to be interesting. I put the Word of God on the front of the canoe. And me and the Word of God went out for a canoe ride. And... Well, he was walking with the Word and sailing with the Word. So we thought that was strange, as you obviously do. But the story gets worse. He said, I was out by the island when, lo and behold, the enemy had a storm come up, and it rose up, and I was in the canoe, and I got by the island. I said to the Word of God, forgive me! And I had to abandon ship and swim to the island and leave the Word of God in the canoe.
Hello?
You know, the testimony was odd, but was even more odd was looking at Reverend Gardner. Because he could not, you know, all of us, the young staff, were like chuckling and trying. You can't really, you're not allowed to laugh in church. But we were just like, oh my goodness. But But looking at Brother Gardner, who sat there like he just could not figure this out. So sometimes what I'm saying is, testimonies are interesting things. But I want to say that Peter had a testimony here at the end of this chapter, a powerful testimony. He said, we saw it. We saw it. That's, you know, he was talking about the Mount Transfiguration where Christ was glorified. And of course, he was not only glorified, but then the Father spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am, well, please hear him, right? He speaks that. They heard the voice. They saw what happened. And Peter is saying, I believe it. Believe the word. Believe the word. God has confirmed this gospel. And, you know, that ought to be with us. Yes. That ought to be your testimony. This is my testimony. I met the Master face to face. And I believe it. I've seen him. I've known him. And he deigns to walk with me. Sometimes I could tell in some people's lives that experience is missing. They're trying, they're striving, but they're not finding that Holy Spirit experience of being with Jesus. Peter's saying, the word is true, let's follow it. Well, look, I just want to share a few things here. Like 107, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord what? Yeah, say so. So I belong to Jesus. It's a good thing to say. I'm a Christian. It's a good thing to say. I like what it says in Revelation 12, 10 through 11. Listen to this. Then I heard a voice, a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night is what? Boy, that's something to testify about. I like to remind us that what Revelation is saying, the person who's accusing you to God has been cast down, but the problem is he's down here now talking to you. But my testimony is you don't got God's ear anymore because he loves me and Christ won the day for me. That's my testimony. And God is speaking good things into the ear of the Father. He's interceding for me. He's praying for me. And the lousy voice of the enemy has been cast down. And now he's trying to lie to us, but I have a greater person speaking to me, the Holy Spirit. If you have a keen ear to the Holy Spirit, you'll do well. Testify about it. But the last part of that says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And do you know the second part? Yeah. Speak it, say it, talk it, every opportunity you get. Share it with your friends. You get together, instead of talking about what's on TikTok, there's some good stuff on there. No. Instagram, you know, we talk about, did you see this reel? This is a funny reel. I mean, that all that, you're not going to go to hell for that. I don't think. But I will say this. We need to talk about Jesus. We need to talk about this great salvation. We need to share. We need to have songs that are in our hearts that God gave us. But why? Because it says there that we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. This is my testimony. Now I'm going to better close out here. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Oh, now you give a strong amen. Well, anyway, I like this. I'm going to go back to the future, some 700 years. Isaiah. Yeah, you all know the movie. Well, but I mean literally going back to the future. Isaiah, 700 years before Christ, this great prophet in the Old Testament, God comes to him and he's given the privilege of looking down the time and he sees what's coming. And in Isaiah 12, he spells it out. And it's the day that we're living in. He just, to him, it's a vision. To him, it's a dream. To us, it should be a reality. And it is a reality. And so it begins by saying, and in that day, you will say, if you know it, what is it? Praise the Lord. And in that day, Isaiah, I almost feel like he's excited about it. In that day, you're going to say, praise the Lord. Though you were angry with me, your anger's turned away, and you comfort me. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Not angry with me, he's my salvation now. And Isaiah is saying, in that day, God's going to do this work. And he's speaking of the work that he's done through Christ, this work of grace. But he goes on, he says, therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Are you drawing? Are you drawing from those wells? Every day, do it. And in that, he repeats in verse 4, and in that day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted, sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. I'm just going to close by breaking this down a little bit, because we're living in the day he dreamt about. Like Peter says in the first epistle, the prophets, they only dreamt of the day that we live in. Do you sense that? See, if you allow the Holy Spirit in, you're going to be like, okay, I'm living in that day, a day of grace, where in my imperfection, in my failures even, in my not always getting it, I can walk boldly to the Father. And you know what the truth is? The truth is, none of us are ever going to change or be what we should be unless we have the courage to approach a Heavenly Father and come to Him and spend time in His presence. That's so important. And we can, because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happens, Isaiah says, this is how our attitude is going to be. We're going to praise the Lord. That's why we heard so much this week about how powerful praise is. Because we're doing what God ordained. Praise is natural speech for somebody who's been redeemed. You know, Brother Keith, that sounded pretty good. Say that again. Okay, I will. Praise is natural speech for those who are redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He says, call upon his name. And haven't we called upon his name? Declare his deeds among the people. It's so important to do. Make mention that his name is what? Exalted. Whose name do you exalt? Mine, of course, this morning. Didn't you see the picture? No, his name is exalted, right? And then this thing about singing. How did Isaiah know that we would be so involved in singing and how important singing is? I have no idea what we did before the hymns. Anyway, cry out and shout. These are the things that are laid out before us. Isn't it wonderful? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we live in such a time and we're scratching the surface of it. We're just beginning to know and to learn. We're beginning, oh Father. Lord, each one of us may be on a different plateau, are finding these wonderful things out. We're thankful for this epistle by Peter. We're thankful, oh God, that it's so relevant to us today. What he charged us with, what he instructed us with, are so good for us today. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing in closing, Yesterday, Today, and Forever. It's number 299. A big thank you to Audrey for always having my back. Appreciate that, her help. Let's stand and sing.
Of sin. salvation. We proclaim the greatness of our God. We declare His greatness. Oh God, we thank You. Thank You, Father. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Master, our guide, our guide and our keeper, our friend, the lifter up of our head, the restorer of our souls, the one who justified us. Oh, we're so grateful. We declare and proclaim the greatness of our God. And we thank You. We thank You for every soul, again, all the campers, the guests, the staff, and all who come on these grounds. We thank You, Lord, for each one of them, the whole body of Christ, for we are members of each other as we are joined in by Christ and Your Holy Spirit. We pray Your blessing on all who are going and coming. Our pastor, Phil, as he arrives, as he travels up, Lord, bless him and anoint him and use him. We ask this all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 God bless you.